Christianity is built on the truth that Jesus died for sin so that we can have them forgiven. Yet there are many who still struggle even after coming to Jesus. And some even say, I know God has forgiven me, but I just can't forgive myself. Is that something Jesus addresses? And is that really true?
Let's see what the Bible has to say about that.
Podcast today. I'm so glad you're joining us. I've got Roseanne at the table with us today.
Yeah.
So talking about a very real, relative, relational topic today from the Bible, this issue of forgiveness,
yes,
of sins. And let me say, if you're joining us maybe for the first time today, welcome to the podcast. Go ahead and like and subscribe. Podcasts come out every week, and we're excited to be able to discuss the real life issues of life,
yes,
and what the Bible has to say about them and how to know God's purpose for life and walk in the life that is vertical. So we all as followers of Jesus understand that Christianity is built on the foundation of Jesus' blood for us, shed for us, mm-hmm, his resurrection over death, hell, and the grave, so that we can have our sins forgiven. And that's a very real thing. That's not just a religious concept. It's a real thing. We know that sin happens. I think in some ways, don't you think that everybody realizes they've done something wrong?
Yeah, I think so.
Even some people who are not followers of Christ, they realize, you know, I've messed up in this situation. I shouldn't have done this. Something's not right with life. I don't feel like I have peace.
Yeah, all of those things. A little off kilter.
Yeah, all of that stuff. I can't overcome my habits, and I don't know about my future. I'm uncertain about eternity, all those kind of things.
Yeah.
I mean, those all just drive the point that the Bible already tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think everybody would have to recognize in an honest conversation, life is not what I thought it was. It's not going like I thought it was. And I can't even make it be like I hope it is.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we turn to Jesus, recognizing, man, we have blown it. We have failed. We have we've gone against God, and we've gone our own way.
Yeah, and generally not just one time.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's not just a one-time deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the world would have to recognize that because they're searching so desperately for something today, something to cover the sin, something to cover the guilt, the shame, the racing thoughts, looking to medicate, looking to find some doctor to say something about why am I going through this?
Yeah.
You know, so. It is for that that Jesus came, so that we could be free from having to live under guilt and shame and fear and anxiety and uncertainty.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us that he did it by being wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Mm. And as Isaiah goes on, it says, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. In other words, he took the beating for us that we deserved.
Yeah.
And those who turn to Jesus and receive that, they really are free. They're forgiven. Mm-hmm. They don't have to live under that guilt and shame anymore. So I also recognize, though, that the moment that first happens for a person, like for me, 1981, sitting on the couch of my living room with a youth pastor that came over and talked to me, I prayed to receive Jesus that day and began to follow him, but it would be some time before I began to take in the reality of what that really meant, that my sins were forgiven. Would you say that was true for you?
Oh, definitely. Well? Yeah. Yeah. I think I was saved in 1998, just a little further after you, but I was 13, at a, at a youth conference. The level of understanding, even from the woman I was last year,
right,
is different. So I think it's a constant growth. But yeah, I would say it's definitely different.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that we are progressively being saved.
That's right.
You know, we do come to Jesus and we are born again and are changed immediately in that moment.
Yes.
But then we grow.
That's
in
right.
The process of
understanding.
The depth of,
understanding
who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you get stories even like Lazarus in the Bible, who Jesus called him out of the grave, and he came walking out, and he was alive again, as much as alive he was ever going to be again. But then the grave clothes had to be removed from him, and so others had to come and do that for him. I think that's somewhat the way it is. So even as we approach this subject today about the question of, you know, do I have to forgive myself and my sin, I want to be ultra sensitive, compassionate, but honest at the same time about all of that.
Yeah.
You know, and try to answer the question, do I have to forgive myself? Is that maybe what's happening out there sometimes? Because I hear that from people. They say, you know, well, I know I've been born again. I know that Jesus forgives me of my sin, but I just can't forgive myself, or I know I need to forgive myself. And it's a sad state, because that means in some form they are still walking, carrying the weight.
Yes.
And you see this.
And sometimes trapped in that weight.
Exactly. Yeah. That you don't find, at least I haven't heard many people say, I know Jesus forgave me my sin. I needed to forgive myself of my sin, and I did, and everything's fine now.
Yeah, and it was
That's
great.
Not normally what I hear.
No.
It's normally, I know I still need to forgive myself, and they can't get past that. And so, you know, if you're in that position, you lack peace. Mm-hmm. There's this sense of regret. There's a real playback, you know, of sins. Mm-hmm. There's this sense of I'm distant. And usually it comes with this line, I know God has forgiven me, but I just can't forgive myself. And it's sad, because someone in that spot, they're held captive, and usually they're punishing themselves in some way. They're not allowing themselves to be free. And it's heavy. And then some people even get to the point where they think, well, I've got to somehow pay enough penance. You know, I have to do enough good, or I've got to punish myself in enough bad ways that maybe one day I'll finally be free from that.
And
I don't know about your experience, but usually when I hear that from people, whatever the offense is that kind of stands out in their mind, there's usually one or more that kind of the big deal, some big deal happened. I mean, for example, let's say a man, he has an affair and it destroys his marriage. His children turn against him. Mm. He loses his job. It stains his reputation and his testimony. That person can carry a lot of guilt because of that situation, a lot of regret. And they struggle sometimes and will say, I just can't forgive myself for the thing that I did.
Yeah.
Or you take a woman who has a car accident and she takes the life of another person. That's horrific, you know, and that's a lot of guilt. And sometimes someone will say, man, I just don't think I ever forgive myself for that. Or, you know, a young person commits a crime and it's going to be on their record for the rest of their lives. And kind of go through this scenario thinking, man, I shouldn't have done that. I should have known better.
Yeah.
Right?
You have a hindsight bias, or like you kind of distort what the memory is too. Like if I had prevented myself from even being, like we could go back in time and do it, but had I prevented myself from doing that, or I was smarter, I'm smart enough to not be put in that situation. Why did I let that happen? For all these situations, but also even if you're in a trauma or an abuse, or say it's a sexual abuse when you were younger or something that happened, you carry that guilt, even though it's beyond your control.
Yeah.
To be in that, but distorting our hindsight is a huge thing that we go to that makes you trapped even more.
Yeah. I love and hate that phrase, hindsight bias. It's true. It's an interesting way of framing that. It's true though, because you go back, and even just those statements you just made, they're more self-guilting statements.
Yes.
I should have known better.
Yes.
So, you know, I should have known that was going to happen. You know, beat yourself up some more. I'm smart enough to know that was the wrong thing. Those are all just self-inducing guilt statements.
Yes, they are.
And again, the sad thing is that saying that doesn't ever lead someone to say, you know, I feel better now. You know,
no,
the weight's gone.
Yeah,
it's more. You keep throwing on the weight and the guilt.
Because even when you admit it, then that guilt can feel a little less. But then you just allow yourself to go back into it.
Yeah.
Go back into the trap. That's the word that keeps, you're putting the grave clothes back on.
In the Lazarus example. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And psychologists today have a phrase or a term for this. They call it that you have the need for self-forgiveness. And, you know, I can see in that context, you know, I need to forgive myself. You can call that self-forgiveness, and you can find all kind of articles and websites that deal with
books, all this
the sort. Need for self-forgiveness. And I get it. I understand it. The problem is that is not at all a biblical concept. Mm. You don't find that anywhere in Scripture.
Yeah.
Now, Scripture deals with the fact that, you know, Jesus has died for my sin and I need to receive that by faith.
Yes.
And I grow in that.
Yes.
But nowhere are you going to find this concept of self-forgiveness, that I need to forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's go down that path for just a moment here. Just think about that. Because if I need to forgive me, then that assumes there's two of me. Yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was thinking through that. I thought there'd actually have to be three of you. Really.
Yeah.
There'd have to be the one that commits the offense or the sin. Then there'd have to be one or another part of you that's like the judge who can say that was wrong.
Yeah.
Still wrong.
I think a lot of people can relate with that judge part. I think we get stuck in that a lot.
Yeah. But then there'd have to be another part of you that could be the one who is gracious, who can override or somehow negotiate with the judging one to forgive the offending one.
Yeah.
And that hurts my head already to think about the head game that is of these conversations going on.
Yeah.
And then who wins?
Yeah, there's no clarity in the chaos.
Who has the greater power?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because somebody would have to be the one who has the greater authority in that situation.
True.
And then someone would have to listen to one of the other two.
Yeah. I'm feeling crazy right now.
I know, and I hate to laugh at it, but if you really take it down its natural conclusion, its path, that's what you find. And then what you'd have to conclude also is that two of those, if not all three,
mm-hmm.
are actually greater than God.
Mm.
That somehow they have power greater than God.
Mm-hmm.
That he can declare you forgiven, but that you have an even greater power in your life.
Who do we think we are?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was reading one of the websites and an article about this, more from a Christian perspective, mm-hmm. from a man named Nate Graybill. And he was kind of putting this in a context I think we can all understand, that it really doesn't work this way in any other part of life, where you have this thing of, you know, I have the power to set myself free.
Mm.
For example, a prisoner who's put in jail, he cannot set himself free.
Mm-hmm.
There are some who hold him there in the prison. A person can't release themselves from a credit card debt, as much as we would like for that to happen.
Yes. If you throw it away, it's still there. Yes.
Yes. I forgive myself of my credit card debt.
Right. They'll just mail you another one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With more interest.
Yes.
And here's one I know you can relate with. A teenager can't unground themselves.
No, as much as they want to.
Did they ever try that?
Yes. I can remember trying that myself,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to sneak out the window.
I unground
myself.
I never did that, Mom. I didn't do it. Yeah.
That's not what she told me.
Oh,
I'm teasing. I have no clue. You know, a citizen can't declare themselves innocent from paying a traffic fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You break a traffic law, you can't just say, I declare myself forgiven.
That's right. No, you cannot.
You can't. Or a person can't, you can't declare yourself free from having to go to court when there's a case filed against you.
Mm-mm.
You can't.
No. As much as you want to run away, you can't.
Yeah. The greater power is the one that has to set you free.
That's right.
The only way that can happen is with the one who has the legal power.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I do not have the legal power to forgive ourselves.
No.
Only the one who establishes the law, defines what the sin is, and then has the power to forgive can do that. And that would only be God.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but I've tried to think, obviously, compassionately, understandingly about these. And I thought, well, you know, why do people think they need to forgive themselves?
Mm.
You know, wonder what goes into the mindset of that. So I was thinking through some of that, and let's talk about this together for just a minute here.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, it could be that that's just what they've heard growing up. Everybody goes up different backgrounds. The Bible talks about there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death.
Mm.
I guess you've been around environments where you've heard that?
Oh, a lot, yeah. And I'd say, especially in the younger generations, younger than me, too, I'm going to call myself young on this one, but they're going to hear it even more because social media puts it out there, you know, and it's all about self how I feel about this, how this. Mm-hmm. So you must just need to forgive yourself. Yeah, give yourself the authority.
Exactly. Especially as we move further and further away from a God-centered mm-hmm. culture,
yeah.
and a gospel-centered. When you remove gospel and redemption and forgiveness on an eternal scale away from life, then that just leaves you with, well, the guilt is there, the offenses are there, the shame is there. There's no God, so I really just need to forgive myself.
Yeah.
So I get it. It could be just what you heard growing up.
That's almost scary. I don't want that power. When you think about removing all of that and just being left with yourself, it's a little,
yes.
a little overwhelming.
I've been there. It's no fun.
No.
And, you know, some of these others are going to start getting close to home. And so I apologize. Don't apologize for how awkward or uncomfortable this next part
sorry,
might
not
get.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We'll because all be uncomfortable together.
All together. Yeah.
Yes.
Because part of the reason that someone might think they need to forgive themselves is that they're still trying to control their own life.
Oh.
There's a sense of I'm controlling what's happening. Because to truly take in forgiveness from God is the ultimate in letting go of control.
Yeah. I think it's funny. I can think of what people are probably thinking at this moment right now.
Yeah.
And trying to get control of their thoughts instead of feeling and surrendering whatever God is trying to move you into right now.
It's true.
Automatically going back into the control.
Yeah.
Keep going. I just had to say
that. No, that's very good. You know, we like to have the final say. That was original sin in the garden. You can have the final say. You can know. And so by saying, well, I just have to forgive myself, it's almost a way of saying, I'm not fully going all the way into this gospel thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep control of this just a little bit longer. I feel like I really need to punish myself some more.
Yes.
I really need to tell myself how bad I am some more.
Yes.
And I really can't let myself go off into that kind of freedom yet.
Yeah, and I'm not worthy of it. I'm not worthy of of letting that forgiveness happen or sink in or fear, I think, what's on the other side? Even though peace is on the other side, rest is on the other side.
Yeah.
But dropping that and letting that be is people are fearful of that. I've been there.
Sure.
But
And it could be that really what's happening is it's a building up moment of tension of release because that's what needs to happen.
Yes.
And you're recognizing I can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
And what needs to happen is just a complete surrender. So, okay, God, you have loved me. You have forgiven me. I will accept that. But that is the ultimate humbling act.
Yes.
And so it could be that it's a tension point.
Yeah.
It could be that sadly they just don't realize the ultimate goodness of the gospel.
Mm, yeah.
You know, that it really is that good.
Yeah. That's simple.
Yes. Depending upon what home environment you grew up in, church environment, culture, it could be that, you know, punishing yourself, penance was just the way.
Yeah.
And you find that in some churches, sadly.
Yes.
You find that in the Catholic Church. You find that in some assemblies, some Baptists. You could go down the line here. It all shows up in different forms.
Yeah.
But you get this sense of self-punishment and penance and having to work off the guilt.
And going back to what you said about how you grew up, even within your house, if you grew up in a house of criticism or shortness or blame, then that's what your mind is just wired to come back that way. And you have to untangle that.
Yeah, you're right. If that's the way you were parented with a lot of heavy guilting and shaming and negative talk, then it's crazy. But, you know, we know that's not good, but we end up doing it to ourselves even.
Yes.
And then if we don't stop it, we'll do it to our own children. And you just replicate the cycle. And just, it's crazy.
Break those chains.
There you go.
Yeah.
It could be that it's a point of pride in someone's life where they need to let go and they just don't want to do it. They just can't. They're afraid, like you said, maybe what's out on the other side.
Mm.
And then let's talk about this for just a moment, because when we were talking earlier, you said, you know, it could be that there is some point of reconciliation out there that they need to make with someone, and that's what's plaguing them.
Yes. If those thoughts keep coming back to you, if this this guilt or something, a mistake that you made in the past keeps coming back in your mind. It's a conviction of the heart that you need to go and reconcile that.
It's true.
So whether it's replacing what it was or repaying what it was or pursuing the reconciliation with a relationship as well.
Yeah. So it could be that that weight you're feeling is really that.
Yes. And you could take the steps to resolve it instead of sitting within yourself.
Yeah. It's not that you need to forgive yourself. It's that you need to go and make things right.
Yes.
Is what needs to happen.
Yes.
And then, you know, perhaps the biggest point here in some of this is that it's possible that someone who's saying, well, I just need to forgive myself, it's possible that they never really have been saved, that they've not yet taken in the fullness of the gospel.
Yeah.
That their sins truly are forgiven. And so they're carrying it around and they're trying to either pay off, punish, or penance themselves into this place of being good enough. But that's not the gospel.
That's right. That's right. And if you are saved, this isn't a way to add on a fear of losing your salvation.
No.
That's not what we're doing there. But if you've never taken that step, if you've never been saved, I mean, that's just a basic way to say it. But yeah, it's not a fear we're trying to add on to.
No,
there.
I mean, all of this is toward the end of freedom.
Freedom, yes.
Someone who is still thinking they have to forgive themselves, they're not free. They're still punishing themselves, still holding the weight over themselves.
Yes. And that pride and control, man, that really, and pride and control go hand in hand a lot, but man, they are stinkers that rise up a lot.
That's
in
true.
This and in so many other things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get it. You know, mercy is not a natural function, I guess, of the human heart, at least the kind of mercy we're talking about.
Yeah.
You're talking about in the face of someone who's committed heinous crime, sin against God. Here he is willing to show love and rescue and forgive you.
Mm.
That's unnatural.
It is unnatural.
It doesn't come from anything on this earth. No man has ever initiated that kind of mercy on his own.
Yeah.
And I think that's why in Ephesians it says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Like, he's the only source of that kind of mercy. That doesn't exist anywhere on earth apart from it being initiated in him.
Yes.
Then you find in Psalm 103 that it says, as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him.
Mm.
Like, you know, whatever that distance is between earth and whatever part you want to call the heavens, whether it's the closest star, our own sun, 93 million miles away, you know, whatever that distance is right there is how great his mercy is. Mm. It's so radically different than what we know that it can be hard to take in.
Yeah. And I love that you added the mileage, because then it just added an even more, you know, to it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have the numbers with me right now, but I used to use this as an illustration. Like, if you imagined writing every one of your sins on a piece of paper and you began to stack those up, I had it down for a while how many pieces of paper that would be to get to 93 million miles.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
No.
A stack of offenses against us, and God has mercy that's greater than that depth that he can extend toward us.
Yeah.
So I get it. That kind of mercy is radical. It's not from us.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to process, but it could be that what you're actually holding on to is your inability to take in that kind of mercy.
Mm, yeah.
You say, I need to forgive myself, but could it be that what you really mean is, I need to take in the depth of this mercy that's been showed toward me?
Yes, because forgiveness doesn't begin with you. Just like you said, there's no scripture that says, I can't even, I'm going to say, thou shalt forgive themselves. I feel like I'm being wrong there, but it doesn't say that. Forgiveness begins with God.
Yeah, it doesn't say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that you should forgive yourself
and have
everlasting life.
Yes, and I give you the power within yourself.
Yep.
To do whatever.
It's not there.
It's not there. No.
Yeah. And so it's not natural, that kind of mercy. It's not natural to have an overwhelming gift given to us.
Mm.
I think everybody can relate to this idea or this experience. Maybe you got invited to an event and you got there thinking, I'm just attending this event, and you find out they have a gift for you. And they give it to you and you have nothing to give in return.
Yes.
It's an awkward moment.
It is.
Or all of a sudden someone starts paying you a compliment and you instantly feel like I've got to give them back, you know, a compliment.
Yes.
All of that. I think this is where, you know, you find the picture of Jesus with the disciples and he's washing their feet and it's overwhelming and it's supposed to be is the point. And so I get it. It's not natural. I get it that here is a holy God who should be punishing us for our sin, choosing to show mercy instead. But this is the gospel.
Yeah. Because I think we would all respond in the way that the disciples responded, like, oh, no,
yeah.
Let me be washing yours, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
But this is the gospel.
Yes.
It's to come to an end of I don't have to punish myself. I don't have to keep beating myself up. I don't have to even forgive myself. What I need to do is believe that Jesus has said I'm forgiven.
Yes, and what a beautiful truth.
So let's bring it down to some application then. So what do you do if you have believed all this time, I need to forgive myself and I can't forgive myself? Mm. Let's talk about some of those steps. I'd say the first one, which is really the biggest one, is if you need to be born again, then I'd say confess your sins to God and believe what Jesus says, that you can be forgiven.
Yes.
1 John 1:9 tells us, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Mm. So if you need to be born again, take that step.
Yeah.
Start there.
Yeah.
You'll find a release of the weight.
No kidding.
I mean, our church is filled, as many churches are, of people who have known what that weight was like to carry it.
Yeah.
And know what it's like to be free from it.
Yes.
Yeah. Then the second thing I'd say is, you say, well, I have accepted Christ. I still carry that weight. Then after this discussion, maybe it's time to repent of believing that you thought you had more power than God.
Yeah.
That somehow you thought, well, I know he's forgiven me, but I need to punish myself some more.
Yeah. You know, and it sounds like a crazy thought, but you know we all think that. That's why it's here. So just to say, you're not alone. We've all felt it.
Exactly.
So stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Stop it.
No,
repent and believe.
It's very real. I mean, there's a verse that was life to me in when I was probably been a believer 4 or 5 years. I was really struggling with this whole thing of forgiveness and my sins against me, and because I kept feeling this condemnation, this shame and guilt all the time.
Yeah.
And I thought I never could, you know, repent enough and confess enough.
Yeah.
But then someone showed me this verse from 1 John 3:20, and it says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things.
Yeah.
So it just tells us the reality of, yeah, there's going to be times that your heart will condemn you.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart will condemn you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not God condemning you. It's your heart condemning you.
Yeah.
But when it happens, know that God is greater than your heart.
Yes.
So that self-condemnation, that need to forgive yourself, it's a very real thing.
It is.
The feeling of that, the thought of that. But God is greater than that.
Yes.
That feeling and that thought.
Yeah.
And if he has declared you forgiven and clean, then that should be greater in our minds.
Yes.
Than any other thought.
Yes.
That comes along.
That should be the belief that we hold on to.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And that is a work of faith. It's a war sometimes.
It is. And it also stems down to your worth. It stems down to your identity. Like, what is it that is keeping you from believing that truth?
Yeah.
What is the tension, just what is keeping you from there?
Mm-hmm. We talked earlier, you said something about that we can often find ourselves in this place of thinking we're unworthy to receive some of that.
Yeah.
Is that where some of this comes from, you think?
I do.
As well? Yeah.
I do. And I think, well, I'm trying to think of where I would want to go there.
Yeah.
I think a lot of things stem from our identity, from even to the I'm not worthy to be forgiven of whatever it was, but the hindsight as well as we talked about. But, and we also tend to justify everything. We self-justify. Mm. Well, I did this because da da da. Or buts. The buts are great, right? In everything that we say,
right?
But this, but that.
Yeah.
Which just goes. It stems again from your identity. Mm-hmm. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that?
Yeah.
And it can also stem. This is just a thought I'm going to throw out there.
Yeah.
Is from when we feel a tension within ourselves. It is two inconsistent thoughts that we have going on, whether it's within your identity, within your thoughts, but you're being double-minded. So it goes back even to the repent because you believe you have more power than God.
Yeah.
Which side are you going to believe?
Yeah. James would say the double-minded person is unstable in all their ways.
Yeah.
So that's a great point because if you're believing, I know I'm forgiven, but I just can't forgive myself. Those are double thoughts.
They are, yeah.
That's like saying, I know I exist, but I don't think I exist.
You know?
Those are competing thoughts. And
they are.
They're at war with one another, and they will cause unrest.
Yes.
So it has to be one or the other.
Yes.
Either I am forgiven by God, who is greater than my thoughts.
Yeah.
Or I still have to somehow forgive myself. Therefore, I've just made myself greater than God.
Yes. And you made the choice. You have the choice. He gave you the power to choose.
Yes.
Which one are you going to live in? Are you going to accept his rest, his peace, or are you going to stay over here in the chaos and the tension?
Yeah. So I get it. It's a real wrestling point. It's a real war. So if you want to say, I know God has forgiven me and I am still working at taking in the depth of that forgiveness. We'll all say, yes,
yes,
yes, welcome to the tribe.
Yes, yes.
We're all in it.
We are.
But I'm moving forward in that.
Yeah.
But to say, I know I'm forgiven, but I just can't forgive myself, that's not the same thing.
It's not.
That's speaking defeat and death and impossibility and contradiction to what God has determined that you are in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So that was good.
That was
really good. All right, let's go on number three here. You know, what do I do? Well, part of the answer and resolve is that we have been forgiven by God, by faith. Mm-hmm. There needs to be an expression that comes out of us to that. It's the release valve, if you will. And one without the other, there's no release for. And the release valve is our mouth. Mm. We are called to say thank you to God for what he has done inside. And that is what produces the real change.
Yes.
If it just happens internally, but it's never expressed, then I'm not sure the transformation actually happens.
Yes.
So Romans would say it this way. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Yes.
So there's the release on the inside, but the expression that comes from the out to the outside.
Yes.
And both those are necessary. So that pent up guilt may need to just come out and say, thank you, God, that you have forgiven me of my sin. There's something about saying it out loud.
Yes. And notice just a disclaimer, he didn't give permission to just let anything come out of your mouth. He's not saying you have that built up guilt, and so you just let anything out. It's gratitude. It's gratefulness to God.
Yes. It's confessing the Lord Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
And this is where, you know, we encourage people here, even at Vertical, about the power of worship. You know, opening your mouth and expressing to God what he has done inside your heart is the release.
It is.
And it can truly set a person free.
Yes.
So.
And don't be afraid of what comes after. If you cry, if you,
yes,
whatever it is, if you fall on your knees, if whatever, the ugly cry with the hiccups, it's okay. It's okay because
there's
freedom.
Were you going to say with the hiccups?
With the hiccups, yeah, it is, yes.
That's ugly cry at a different level.
It is, yes.
Wow.
It's okay because there's freedom on the other side of that.
Yeah, that's good. So what else do you do if you have believed this? And I would say number four is choose by faith to stop paying for your own sin. Mm. It's interesting how that is kind of built into our own.
It is.
Self.
Yes.
Our own minds. You know, I think I have to beat myself up. I have to punish myself. I have to not believe that I really am forgiven.
Yeah.
I have to replay my failures. I have to tell myself what a loser I am. I have to tell myself how wicked my heart is. I have to stop denying myself of good things.
Yeah.
The Bible says that Jesus, about Jesus, he himself is the, and here's the New King James word. This is from 1 John 2. He himself is the propitiation. That's not a word we use very much today. It's the word that means he is the satisfaction and the atonement for our sins. He is, not us. It's not he and us.
Yes.
He with us. He and then requiring us. No, it's he.
Yes.
He is.
Yeah.
And the wonder of the gospel is you can stop punishing yourself.
Yes.
Stop replaying the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a step of faith.
It is. It is, because if you think about how often your mind or yourself are thinking about your negatives.
Yes.
Like, well, I'm a failure. I'm this, I'm that. Even if somebody gives you a compliment, going back to earlier, automatically your response is, I'm unworthy of that compliment even. So stop kicking yourself. Stop putting yourself in that. Remember, you are worthy. You are accepted. You are redeemed. You are loved. You are held.
Yep.
That's where you stand in. Yep. Stop thinking on the negative.
Yeah. And that's not me just playing psychological game.
No.
That's not me dismissing reality. No, I'm accepting reality.
Yes.
I really am.
Yes.
I'm accepting the reality of, yes, I have sinned. I did fail.
Yes.
But Jesus has loved me. He bore that on the cross.
Yes.
And he's forgiven me of that by faith.
Yes.
That's not denying anything.
That's
getting more real than anybody else.
Yes.
And so when you do that is when you find release. And and it still happens. It still happens for me.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I go through my week and there are certain moments in my day where if I'm not careful, my thoughts will drift and they'll start replaying scenarios.
Mm. Yes.
They'll replay things I said, things I did. And I think, I shouldn't have said that. Why did
yes.
I do that? It was so ridiculous. I shouldn't have done that. And if I'm not careful, I can stand there and then I become all three of those people. Actually,
yes.
Just two of them. I'll replay the sin and I'll be the judge.
Yes, because the forgiver is not, yeah,
he's
in,
not
the building.
In the room. No,
yes.
He never is.
Yeah.
But I have to choose by faith. I said, no, stop.
Yes.
I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yes.
That's not who I am in Jesus Christ. That's not what he came for.
Yes. And he's given you that power to stop the cycle and
yes.
turn to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which brings us to our next one. This is also a step of faith, but it's so important, where you intentionally silence the enemy every time he accuses you.
Yeah.
Because he is.
He is.
He is relentless. He will not stop.
Mm-mm.
He is he is given a title in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 10. He's called the accuser of the brethren.
Yeah. It's
so
very fitting.
Yeah. He's going to keep on accusing you. He'll keep pointing out your sin, pointing out your failures, pointing out your flaws, telling you are disqualified, telling you you'll never measure up, telling you don't deserve God's love.
Mm.
And that's his goal.
Yeah.
And so I can't listen to that.
No, it's lies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I have to, by faith, start silencing that. I don't have to say, yeah, I just need to forgive myself of that stuff. Guess how you got that thought to begin with?
Yes.
It came from the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And he is accusing you.
Yeah.
So I had to choose to silence that voice.
Yes. And don't give in. Like, even whenever there's times that voice will start within me and they'll be like, that makes sense. That makes sense.
You just agreed with it.
Yes, you agree with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you on the witness stand and the prosecuting attorney is across from you and he's saying all kind of lies about you.
Yes.
And if he wants to get in your head.
Yes.
He wants to make you start believing his lies.
Mm-hmm.
If you do, you're done.
Yes. And then the decline begins.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the next one is equally important. Every one of these is important, but the next one is the reminder of this, that the next time you sin, because you will.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to speak death, but I'm just speaking reality.
That's reality.
You're going to sin again. The next time it happens, then you confess it and you remember that even that sin has been paid for.
That's right.
It's so easy to get in this trap of, oh, I was doing so good. And then I did this one thing and it just set me back. And then you just.
Yes.
Crater.
Yeah.
No, that's it. I'm not going to church anymore. I'm not going to pray anymore. I don't need to listen to any worship music. I'm not going to do any of that anymore.
Yeah.
Where do you think that came from? That's the enemy.
Yes.
And the forgiveness for the 3 millionth time you sinned is just as real
as
the first.
Yeah.
And
which is so beautiful.
Yeah. And so this is the new rhythm I walk in.
Yes.
I don't walk in the old rhythm of sin, failure, guilt, shame, punish myself.
Yeah.
That ended.
Yeah.
Jesus took my punishment. The chastisement, the punishment for my peace was upon him.
Yes.
So now I'm going to move forward
in
that. Now, our number seven here, we're almost through with our list. This is one that we talked about a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That if there is something that needs to be restored or reconciled, you should pursue that, right?
Yes.
You said you were just talking to the Women's Bible Study Group about this.
We were, yeah. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount, and so we're talking about Matthew 5. Mm. And so specifically, if you look at Matthew, I believe it's 23 through 26, where he specifically talks about if you have a brother or sister who has something against you, that you leave your gift at the altar and you go reconcile with them.
Yeah.
And you pursue reconciliation. You can't make reconciliation. If Brian is mad at me, I can't make him reconcile with me, but I can pursue it.
She sure tries.
I try so hard. but pursuing it is what we are rightfully supposed to do.
So I guess the thing here is that there's going to be some times where we're going to all of a sudden become aware of something that we've done that maybe we didn't realize before.
Yes.
And in that moment, you're going to feel the weight of it.
Mm.
And the weight may actually be real
in
that you need to go and reconcile with someone.
Yes.
That's the point.
Yes.
And the example Jesus uses is if you've come to bring a gift to the altar, if you've come to worship and to sacrifice, all of a sudden you realize, ooh, I just remember this relationship I need to go reconcile. Mm. That he didn't say, stop and beat yourself up for that.
No.
He said, you should get up and go.
Yes.
Before you even offer the gift, you should go.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that we need to attempt to reconcile with.
That's very true.
There are things that we've done that need to be repaired or restored.
Yeah.
And if you've taken something, you should replace it.
Yeah.
You know, if you've taken someone's reputation, you should attempt to restore it.
If
you've taken someone's trust, you should attempt to restore it. If you've taken something physical from someone, you should attempt to restore that.
Yes.
And that could be actually what you're experiencing.
Exactly. And then it's going to be healing to your heart as well, because God loves a cheerful giver, but that cheerful goes down to the heart. He's much more concerned with the internal than the external.
It's good. Yeah. So the last one, if that's what you've walked in, and after you've walked through all these steps, then here's the powerful invitation from God to us.
Yeah.
Now, go walk in this victory.
Ooh,
walk in it. Stop carrying around the weight. Stop carrying around the ball and chain. Stop carrying around the whip to punish yourself.
Yeah.
And Colossians 2 gives us this good news. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it.
Mm.
This is what disarms the enemy.
Yeah.
When they have nothing else to hold against you, and when you claim, I have been forgiven of all my trespasses,
yes,
they have nothing on you at that point.
That's right.
So walk in that victory. This is how good our God is. This is how good his grace and mercy is. You don't have to keep punishing yourself, and you don't have to forgive yourself.
Yes.
You just have to receive the forgiveness that's been given to
you. Amen. Yeah.
Woo. It's good stuff. Well, thank you, Roseanne.
Thanks for having me.
You got anything else?
No, I think I said it all.
It was good. It was really rich. And it, again, it's one of those topics we approach with great compassion, sensitivity, but honesty and truth.
Yes.
And we're called to that so that we might be free. We're not invited to an even heavier form of life by making religious exercises an obligation and duty. But instead, we're invited to a life that follows Jesus out of love for what he has done for us. Mm. So thanks again.
Yeah.
And thanks for everybody who's watching today. Yes. Really to like and subscribe, share it with someone else who is in need of some hope and some freedom in their life. This is what Jesus has given us. So keep lifting him up and living him out.